Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, parental advisory is recommended. Oh, shit, just listen.
Huss!
The Boshy Radio Takedown Network.com.
Sasquatch Pro Wrestling.com.
Or lease in the morning.
Propaganda.
Government is the problem. Martial law in America.
A new world order.
Right now.
The new world order.
The acquisition of unwarranted influence.
The new world order is emerging.
Build a new world order.
The military-industrial complex.
That just as powerful, just as strong.
Revolution.
Death and corruption.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
Those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Welcome to episode 162 of Chew the Fat, and I am the beast from the Middle East, the Yemeni maniac, the modern-day sheikh, Dayfala, the butcher, the bossy. Please help a brother out, download, rate, follow, and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I made it easy for each and every one of you. For all of our links and latest episodes, go to www.DobashiRadioTakedownNetwork.com. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and you know what this means. Conspiracy Talk with Scrapyard Dog Lewis McNair, and we have our special guest, Casey Gaines. But first, for those of you that are not familiar of the background of today's topic, I'm going to play this audio, and I will be right back with Scrapyard Dog and Mr. Casey.
If you've seen my video, Murder on the Tracks, I've got a shocking update for you. If you haven't seen it, the link is in the description below, but here's a quick background. Kevin Ives, then 16, and Don Henry, then 17, were brutally murdered on August 23, 1987. They were killed because they stumbled across a drug and cash drop. And that drug drop was from the still ongoing operations out of MENA Airport that happened during Iran-Contra that were started up with Barry Seal, but continued on after his death. Their bodies were placed on the railroad tracks in an attempt to cover up their murders. Their murders were then covered up by local and state and then federal authorities, and have been for the last 30 years, because they themselves, meaning the authorities, were most likely involved in the murders. And here's a rather shocking update. Remember this WWF superstar from the 1980s? I sure do.
Introducing in the ring from Portland, Oregon, weighing 246 pounds, Billy Jack Haynes. Soon to be entering the ring area, accompanied by Elizabeth from Sarasota, Florida, weighing in at 200.
I'm Randy Savage, powerhouse. Definitely, Billy Jack, he's going to get the nod for power, but Savage going to get it for speed. Nice duck under there. High cross body. Champion down the leg hook. Two count only. Oh, look at that power.
Wasn't he devastating as Macho Man, though?
Tables turned here. Billy Jack going to work. Look at the intense look on the face of this youngster. Suplex coming up. High vertical, turned him loose. Well, it wasn't really executed all that well. Look out, second turnbuckle on the inside. Oh, planted an elbow right in the...
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, Billy Jack Haynes came up with this shocking admission. He was there the night Kevin and Don were killed.
I'm Billy Jack Haynes, former World Wrestling Federation wrestler. Today I come with no mask. I come with no hidden voice. I come to you straight face to face because this is reality, man. Don't hide nothing. 30 years ago, I witnessed the murder of two teenagers on a railroad tracks, August 23rd, Alexander, Arkansas. 27 years of that, I was a drug addict on pain pill medication. I become clean. It kept bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. And finally, when Seth Rich was killed July 10th, I knew that was a message to me because that's my birthday, July 10th. So here I am coming forward. This is a plea that I'm going to read here for you today. The plea is for those who has yet to contribute to the GoFundMe.com Kevin Ives Don Henry murders that happened 30 years ago. Please contribute to the fund so that the investigator can continue his work. He says that they still need to interview possible witnesses and gather more information that will assist him in the investigation of the murder of Kevin Ives and Don Henry. Also, you can find this on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Hashtag Kevin Ives, hashtag Don Henry. A former drug trafficker, I'm ashamed to say, and a hired enforcer. In the late 70s and early 1980s, when I was in my 30s, I stood 6'3" and weighed between 260 and 300 pounds. I was very visually intimidating. I'm not proud to say that. In the 1980s, I transported and trafficked large quantities of cocaine throughout the United States of America. I bought cocaine from the largest drug trafficker in the United States, Barry Seal, out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I would then sell that cocaine to contacts around the United States. Barry Seal later introduced me to a politician drug dealer from Arkansas. In 1984, that politician drug dealer asked me to kill David Kennedy, who I later learned was the son of very well-known politician Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of President John F. Kennedy. I was also an enforcer who provided muscle to other parts of the criminal element to ensure that their illegal business dealings were collected upon. In August of 1987, I was contacted by the Arkansas criminal politician and was asked if I would provide muscle at an Arkansas drug stop. The criminal politician suspected that some drug money drops were being stolen. He suspected that the state police officers were involved in the thefts in Arkansas. I agreed to assist with security at the drug drop site. While conducting security for the drug money drop, I witnessed the murders of two young boys, Kevin Ives and Don Henry. They were murdered by other individuals who were working for the same criminal politician. Their bodies were placed on the railroad tracks to be mutilated by a passing train. In late 2016, I contacted Linda Ives and informed her that I was on the railroad tracks, and when her son was murdered, I was there. I have since met Larry and Linda Ives and their private investigator, Keith Roncival. I gave them a statement outing everything that I knew about their sons and Don Henry's murders. In my statement, I named three local enforcement officers, two local attorneys, politicians, and a local bar owner as those being on the scene of the murders in 1987. I also named the criminal politician who directed the events at the scene via cell phone with one of the attorneys, politicians, and me. Your assistance by donating to the Kevin Ives and Don Henry GoFundMe account is greatly appreciated by Larry, Linda Ives, me, Billy Jack Haynes. Please, if you've got it in your heart, I'm standing here putting my life on the line today, telling you that I could very well be killed. Open your pocketbooks, give money to this fund, because they have to be taken down. And Linda Ives, after 30 years, man, 30 years, if your son was killed, you deserve some credit too, and you deserve some money coming your way so it can be investigated. Go to the GoFundMe page, please. Thank you very much.
Wow, I'm still picking my jaw up off the floor. With all the unreal things that's happened in this case over 3 decades now, I shouldn't be surprised. But yes, please go to the GoFundMe page, linked in the description below, and donate what you can. Even if it's $5, it helps. And let's get to the bottom of this once and for all, and get this case finally resolved, and finally get some justice for the Ives and Henry families, as well as justice for all the other families affected by this tragedy. And if you live in the Arkansas or surrounding area, be sure to tune in this Thursday, February 15th, 2018, to Channel 7 News.
The two boys had been lying across this stretch of tracks.
It's been over 30 years since two teenage boys were found dead on these tracks in Saline County. The tracks are still here, and so is the mystery regarding what happened. What's new is a witness has come forward.
I witnessed everything that happened.
He has nothing to gain and everything to lose.
I think he's telling 100% truth.
The new witness speaks out for the very first time what he saw that tragic night, Thursday at 10 on Channel 7 News.
I have breaking news myself. You know, right before we aired, I got a text from someone said, Billy Jack Haynes wants to talk with me. We used to be tight. We haven't talked for a couple years. You know, he's in hiding. So I'm going to head down to that certain area next week or so. And who knows, we may possibly, very, very, very 99% good chance that we might have a special show. Anyways, without further ado, I would like to introduce the meanest dog in any yard, Louis McNair, the scrap yard dog, and a very special guest, magician, musician, artist, author, the mighty KC Gang. How you doing, my brothers? Glad to have the band back together.
Oh, man, it's great to talk to you guys again. And, yeah, that's some real amazing news. Because this is a real big, huge story. It seems like the media is ignoring it altogether. Like, if it was anyone else, if, like, Randy Macho Man Savage said that Senator Mitch McConnell, you know, killed a boy, I think at least people would care about it. But because, for some reason, this huge bombshell has gotten little or no media coverage, the media has neither chosen to discredit it or to investigate it. So it's very interesting, and kudos to you for having the connection and to talk to this guy. And kudos to Doc Washburn, who did the original interview with him, which is a real good interview. I highly recommend anyone to listen to. And kudos to the gentleman you played. The beginning was a bit of a documentary. There's a guy who makes really good documentaries that put a lot of, like, court documents and other documentary footage about it on the Boys on the Tracks. I think it's called Murders on the Tracks, and there's 3 parts. And they're all really good. I highly recommend anyone who has time on their hands to check them out. It's not only is very interesting, but it's very, very important. Because I think one of the reasons you would think with the Clintons being accused of stuff, you think at least Fox News would say, hey, the Clintons were accused of murder, because you know the Clintons, Fox News is always good, but no news from Fox News. But I think the reason that is because this case. It's such a big case, and Billy Jack is such an important witness to not only Bill Clinton being a kind of drug-dealing murderer, but Bill Clinton was part of an American drug-dealing set that included Oliver North, that included George H.W. Bush. So that's why we have such a crazy story here. And it's only like wrestling blogs and a few quote-unquote conspiracy theory places covered it, and then they seem to start like ignoring it after, because we live in like a news cycle world where something's news for a week and then it just goes away and no one ever follows up.
Well, the one thing that interests me about the case, and you know, I look at it from
two parts. As I listened to the interview, and I Googled Johnny's transmission connected to Bill Clinton, and an interesting article popped up, and I think all your listeners need to go listen to the article, or no, read the article, and the link you need to click on is Arkansas Connection, a timeline of the Clinton years, and it was a great article, and it talks about a lot of things that happened, you know, with him being Attorney General of Arkansas, then Governor of Arkansas, and specifically mentions the boys on the track. And the things about Johnny Transmission, the guy who owned that transmission shop, who found the $27,000 check made out to Bill Clinton. I think he either turned it over to somebody who was in the police department, and this guy turned it over to the FBI. Next thing you know, the FBI is down there, got the car, sees the car and everything with it, and the checks and all that kind of stuff. And then the guy who turned it over to his police friend ends up dead. So I thought that was very interesting. That's one that's good. And another thing that stuck out to me is the guys or people who called into Doc Washburn's radio show who either were connected with drugs or did drugs that knew something about the case in Arkansas. So from a local standpoint, it got a lot of attention in that area, but on a national scale, almost zero.
Yeah. I mean, well, the good thing about the internet now is that a local story like that is that anyone could see the KATV news reports or anyone can listen to Doc Washburn. But for such a crazy video, it only has, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10,000 views when you're having, like, you know, cat videos getting 2 million. So, like, the vast majority of Americans are really uninformed to what's going on with the Clintons. You still have, you know, so many Democrats and Clinton supporters who think, you know, oh, wouldn't life be so much better if Hillary Clinton was in office? And they still, and they're talking about her running for 2020, which is ridiculous to me after she's now in all the corruption scandals and the drug scandals. But I'm really hoping the truth will set people free. And this is, the Billy Jack Haynes is just a small piece to a lot of other, to a real bigger story about cocaine trafficking in Arkansas to support the Contra rebels in Nicaragua involving CIA, which Bill Clinton, it's very clear that Bill Clinton had a working relationship or was a CIA agent from back to his days at Oxford when he was spying on anti-war protesters. So him coming on being governor, he was just playing his role within the CIA. It wasn't like he was a criminal per se. He was following the CIA. He was working with George H.W. Bush, who was a former head of the CIA, a CIA legacy, longtime CIA agent. Oliver North, another longtime deep state CIA agent. So it was a massive, massive scandal. And I think like, it, again, if you go back to this, like if you go back to the cocaine and Iran-Contra, you can also find out the same players from the JFK assassination, Watergate. So this is the story that America doesn't want to get out. And I think one of the myths we have is that we have a free press. We really don't have a free press. Like the Republican Party controls Fox, Democratic Party controls MSNBC, and the corporations control both political parties. So these media corporations are part of the same system that runs the government. So that's why you're not hearing about Billy Jack Haynes on MSNBC or even Billy Jack Haynes on Fox News when he's making an explosive allegation. I mean, they will. If a lady says Trump said, "Hey, you look pretty," in 1982, these MSNBC, Fox, they will go down the floor. They will find out, what is Bill Clinton at this place? Is this person's story credible? They'll do a story on it. They'll dissect it. So they'll prove it wrong or prove it right. But nobody in the media has even tried to interview Billy Jack Haynes, aside from Doc Washburn, which is he's a local guy from Arkansas. It's a local story with national implications.
Do you think everyone's just scared to publicize it or talk about it?
What I think everyone is ignorant to it. I think because of the way the media control information and the flow of it so well, that this story didn't really get out outside of local Arkansas news, wrestling fans, and yeah, I think InfoWars only did a small segment on it, and they're like known as the big conspiracy theory. So I think journalists are brave. I think if journalists knew about this, they would follow it up. I think it's the people who run these corporations, who run the New York Times, who run MSNBC, the people at the top, they're the ones who are kind of controlling the flow of information. And they'll never let you know. And they're in with the government. So if the government is fighting illegal wars, if the government is controlling mass incarceration, they'll never bring these issues up. They'll bring up the same old issues, school shooting, black kid shot, a racist person at the Waffle House. A lot of stories that are interesting to people and get people, and they get people engaged and they get people to have emotions, but they really don't have anything to do with our day-to-day life or what's really going on in the world.
Well, what Casey's basically talking about is the corporate control mass media. And when we were talking about the JFK assassination, debauchery on prior shows, I talked about that, whereas none of the national media would ever print the story other than Oswald killed the president with only three bullets, something that we now know is untrue. Okay.
I mean, I think they knew it back then, too. Some people did. But now, I think, and now anyone looks at it, that's the only conclusion you can come to.
Well, I have a question for you guys. I don't know if this is part of this or not, but this has to do with drugs. On social media, I've been in Oakland and the Bay Area all week, for a Yemeni wedding and all this. My cousin got married. One of my cousins was giving me a quick rundown history. And, one of you guys have your computer on? I hear a little feedback.
No, my computer's not on.
I think I got mine on. Let me turn it off right quick.
Oh, okay. So what they were saying, there was a ship going, because Yemen, is part of the Ritz, a part on the Gulf right there. They pretty much everyone has to go through them, all those containers, the ships and stuff. And recently, or a few years ago, I guess, a big ship. I still hear feedback, guys.
I'm not sure. It might be like there's like I have my windows open because it's hot outside, and there might be like cars driving by. But I'm trying to.
There was a ship. They got busted. They busted $30 million. I mean $30 trillion worth of drugs, all sorts of drugs, right? And after it got busted, all the Middle Eastern companies and stuff start going against Yemen. And I heard they're trying to take away the rights, because I guess they have to pay taxes every time they go past Yemen through the Red Sea. And now all this stuff is coming down on Yemen. So is there any connection with the government, the CIA, or anything with the drugs and all that? Because if they control that, they control anything that goes, through the port down there that has to go through past Yemen.
Right. Well, right now there is a big CIA-sponsored Saudi Arabian war on Yemen right now.
And because of that,
drugs are usually involved, especially with this, and that's usually what they're doing to fund a lot of their stuff, especially with a lot of these, not only the CIA, but they're like Islamic extremist counterparts, aka ISIS, Al Qaeda. But I just read a real big story that the American company Raytheon is tripling their profits off the war. So the USA doesn't always need drugs to have a war. War is profitable by itself. Like,
wow.
Sometimes, a lot of times, they will go to war for oil, or they will go to oil for drugs, or to control the drugs, like, in Nicaragua or in Afghanistan. That's a big part of the wars, is the control of the drugs. But right now, their wars are just so profitable. They get the American taxpayers to pay for billions and billions of expensive bombs. Rich companies like Saudi Arabia buy these bombs from the American government. So war by itself is profitable. So it could be, and usually you have multi layers of war, and you might have the CIA war, where that's not really American soldiers, but they'll fund some Islamic extremists, or they'll fund some narco terrorists, or they'll fund a militia or a death squad to do the fighting. So that's definitely going on in Yemen right now. But then they also have their massive bombs, which kill civilians. They have their drones, which kill civilians. So I know the Saudi Arabia is very important to the United States because it was oil, and because of the Saudi Arabian dispute with Yemen. So it could be more for oil or than drugs, but it's usually about one or the other. It's not about oil. It's about drugs, and usually both, especially concerning the Islamic world.
Well, I heard it was because they want to control that waterway, because if they control that, they can control what comes in and out, drugs or whatever they want.
Yep.
Exactly.
And for my book Inside the CIA's Secret War in Jamaica, one of the important things is why they wanted to control Jamaica is because it was our port dating from way back. So, if you have a port, and we do have planes, but a lot of this is still shipped by sea, especially stuff like guns, drugs, oil, cars. So controlling port areas, like what's going on in Syria. Syria is a big port area. Libya is a big port area. So these are strategic places that the USA and their allies are attacking for geographical reasons, for drug reasons, for oil reasons. But for sure, because once you control the ports, that helps you control the oil and control the drugs.
Exactly. And like you said before, Casey, it's either drugs or oil. Like in Afghanistan, when we helped the Mujahideen, it was about the poppy fields.
Right, exactly.
We go to fight Iraq. It's about the oil in Iraq. It didn't have anything to do with weapons of mass destruction. That was a political lie that was told by the leaders in power. But it was about, like you said, it's either about oil or drugs.
The funny thing is they keep telling this lie. They keep telling the same lie. Oh, Syria has chemical weapons. Oh, no, we're serious. Gaddafi has chemical weapons. Oh, we're serious. The USA is the only country that's using chemical weapons. USA uses tear gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, they use tear gas on Ferguson. That's a chemical weapon. I had tear gas used on me celebrating the Boston Red Sox World Series. So because I believe that American people are good people. So you can't, like, Donald Trump or Barack Obama can't go up and say, hey, listen, we're about to kill a bunch of civilians because we want oil for our friends. Cool. So you have to say, you have to make it seem like we're doing something good. Oh, we have to save these poor civilians from being killed by, they don't tell you they're going to kill more civilians. Or their democracy is so horrible, we got to save their democracy, but they don't tell you what's going to happen after. Isn't a saved democracy, it's a failed, chaotic, violent state. But they need to lie to you, and they need to say these people pose threats. They're killing children, or you know what I'm saying? Or they're raping women, when in reality it's the USA who is supporting the people who are terrorizing, murdering, raping, etc. But because American people are decent people, and I don't think they would want to be in on murder or corruption. So they need to lie, and they need to say, hey, our armed forces are out there fighting for freedom, when they're not. They're fighting for American corporate interests, and they're actually stopping the freedom of people all around the world.
Well, Debashi, if you don't listen to anything else I tell you, I want you to listen to this one statement I'm about to tell you.
You got it. Okay.
All politicians, whether they're Democrat or Republican, okay, whether they're Democrat or Republican, makes no difference. All politicians practice one of three things, if not all three. That's lying.
What is it?
Cheating. Lying, cheating, and stealing. And in this case, what we're talking about tonight, murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there are a whole bunch of like gullible city councilmen and mayors, and they might be Democrats or Republicans, and they really think, I want to make this country a better place. I want to make this city a better place. They're honest, good people. But once you get to the people in power, the presidents, the heads of the CIA, the secretaries of state, the vice presidents, all these people are corrupt, evil people dating back to the JFK assassination.
Exactly.
And they have to be in on it or very stupid. So they're all both, because people, so if, to understand policy, you kind of need to understand the JFK assassination. LBJ, a Democrat, John F. Kennedy's vice president, was partially behind his assassination, as was Richard Nixon, a Republican. Now, furthermore, further down the line, let's look at Bush and Clinton. Bush and Clinton ran against each other, looked like they were enemies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bush only had served one term in office. During their election, Bill Clinton didn't say anything about Iran-Contra. That was Bush's biggest scandal. All these, like, that's what you do during elections. You bring up the biggest scandals. Now we know the reason why he didn't bring up Iran-Contra, because he was in on it too. And part of me even thinks maybe Bush was like, you know what, I'm tired of being president. Let me let my little homie Bill Clinton be president. Because they're close friends. They dealt drugs together in the 80s. They're still friends today. They work together. So I'm not
But if I'm not mistaken, I think in the Doc Washburn interview, Bill Clinton's dad is his, not his stepdad, his real dad, is connected to the Bush family in some kind of way. I think their family some kind of way, you know, Clinton's family and the Bush family, there's family ties there. I think they talked about that.
It's not
the
Doc Washburn interview, but it's another Bill Clinton documentary that's pretty good. I can't think of the name offhand. No, it's very, and I think the big thread among a lot of these presidents, from Barack Obama to Bill Clinton to George Bush Jr. to George Bush Sr. to LBJ, all of them have a strong relationship with the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bill Clinton worked for the CIA in Europe. George Bush was the director of the CIA, and before that was working with the CIA. It looks like Barack Obama was some type of CIA agent at one time, maybe after college, and who knows how long that lasted, or still lasting.
We had a couple last-minute emails, but I think this email, it would be good to answer right now.
You've got mail.
It goes, this first one was from Julie Sheen from Portland, Oregon. And she goes, how did the Clintons get all this scary power? How did they get all this clout? I can see maybe how the Kennedys due to the big family and bootlegging. Bush has got it maybe big family and military. But how in the hell did the Clintons get all this power? Any ideas? Thank you.
Cocaine.
Exactly.
Bill Clinton had a big friend named Dan Lassiter who funded his campaigns initially. He had a bail bonds business. He had a horse running business. He also started the Ponderosa restaurant chain. So Bill Clinton, there's two ways you can get into power as a politician. You can be born rich. You could be a Bush or a Clinton. Or you could be like a Nixon, an LBJ, or a Clinton. And these people, they need to find sponsors who are usually drug dealers or the CIA itself. So part of Bill Clinton's power is the CIA. Part of it is in Arkansas. If you look at what happened in Arkansas while he was there, look what businesses started off, Walmart, Tyson Chicken. A lot of the biggest businesses in the world started off under Bill Clinton because he let them do whatever they wanted to. So Bill Clinton's power is in, he's a moocher, he's an extortionist. If you want to sell drugs in Arkansas, I want my 10%. If you want to start your own Walmart corporation, I want a $50,000 campaign check. So Bill Clinton's power is not, people do say, you know, he might have some type of elite blood in him, but his mother was poor, his brother was a drug dealer. You know, it's not like, he could have been one of those, you know, rich, he could have had a rich parent, but he grew up poor. But for somehow managed to get to Georgetown and Yale and Oxford and all these amazing schools that cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure Bill Clinton's power is that he's a CIA agent, and he gets a lot of money from drugs, and he's very corrupt. If you're willing to change your opinion, change your beliefs, do anything for some type of bribe, you're really corruptible. So that's the type of people that the corporations want in office. Those are the type of people that the cartels and the drug dealers want in office. Someone who can, someone who's corrupt, someone who could be bribed, and also someone who could be blackmailed. Bill Clinton is a sex freak, rapist, who has who knows what skeletons they have in his closet. And so the whatever people in power behind Clinton, it's not, the Clintons aren't the power. They're the kind of face of the power. They're the spokesperson. They're not really calling the shots. They're not deciding to go to war. They're not deciding to raise the rates on the Fed. They're not. They have a little bit of power in terms of, you know, who to go to war, where to go to war. But the Clintons are basically the ambassadors of the deep state and military industrial complex.
Exactly.
And that's where their power is from. Their power is way bigger than them. It's not the Clintons. The Clintons didn't kill Kennedy. The Clintons didn't run cocaine through California. They helped. They were part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're part of a bigger system. The Clintons aren't a system. They're part of a bigger, corrupt, Democratic, Republican, two-party, military, industrial, CIA complex party.
And shadow government.
Shadow government, exactly.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time, the shadow government. You sit here and look at the politicians, and you think, okay, the president is the most powerful man in the world. Not even close.
No.
It's the people behind them that you don't see, that you don't believe.
Exactly.
Those are the ones that are in power.
Yep. A lot of the bankers, the people, the warmongers, the weapons makers, the drug dealers, the pharmaceutical corporations, you know.
Defense contractors.
Yeah. Because America has like such a corrupt like lobbying system where any politician can be bought legally. Not only illegally, they're being blackmailed or whatever. But it's really interesting, and it's interesting that Billy Jack Haynes, for some people, may be the one to crack open the whole facade of the deep state.
Well, here's another thing that's interesting about this case is that I think Doc Washburn also talked about in an interview that after he did the interview, the first interview with Billy Jack Haynes, I think he was either contacted by local law enforcement in Saline County.
I think the guy was named Jeff Files, and he was the Saline County district.
Right.
So here's the funny thing about him. He has, like, some, like, Roscoe Coltrane, like, low position in the Saline County, which is, like, a backwards Arkansas, small, rural, working class place. And this guy works for the DEA. He worked in Afghanistan. And then after this, he works in a small town in Arkansas, and he contacts Keith Rosenvall, who is Billy Jack Haynes' private investigator and also Linda Ives' private investigator. He's one of the people who's done a lot of like good do work and diligence to get Billy Jack Haynes' story out there. So he contacts him. There's actually a good phone recording of this guy, Jeff Files, I believe his name is. I could be incorrect. There's a good recording between Keith Rosenvall and this guy, where this guy seems to be kind of like badgering information, badgering him to find out where Billy Jack Haynes is, trying to find out where this videotape is, and it seems like he didn't want to find out for justice. He wanted to find out to stop justice.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the feeling I get, because I think after this went down, and then all of a sudden now you send an email saying Billy Jack Haynes' life is, saying his life was has been is being threatened. So I thought that was very interesting that, you know, like what you just said, and then the next thing that happens, Billy Jack is being threatened, and that's kind of like, okay, he's stepping forward, telling what he knows, to anybody and everybody that's listening, it's good that he's doing that. I applaud Billy Jack for what he's doing. Even though, to him it's very dangerous. But I applaud because, Linda Ives, to me, just like he said, she needs to find justice after 30 years. But you're looking at her going against the Clintons, because if you look at it, starting in Arkansas, this thing goes all the way to the White House.
All the way to the White House. And not only to one president, to two presidents,
mm-hmm.
to both Bush and Clinton.
Exactly.
And not only does she need justice, because, there's a lot of people out there, who mothers who've lost their children, who unfortunately don't have justice, but the millions of people affected by cocaine in the 80s need justice. The millions of people incarcerated or addicted to cocaine because Bill Clinton was bringing it in to fund
mm-hmm.
the Contras along with George Bush and all the North. They need justice too. This is, as important as the case this is, it's kind of just like the smoking gun to the narco trafficking, gun running, corrupt government that we've had in power since the assassination of JFK.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Because it seems like since the JFK, just look at the events that happened since the JFK assassination. You had JFK assassinated. You had Martin Luther King assassinated.
RFK.
Malcolm X assassinated. John Lennon assassinated.
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and then you had the Vietnam War, and then you get. Bump it up a little further, get to it, and you had Iran-Contra. You had scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal since the JFK assassination, and it's only getting worse.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You can't sit up here and trust these politicians. They will lie through their teeth. They will tell the American people anything they want to hear. They get them to do what they want. And if you look at the backward and forth going on between the Trump supporters and liberals, and they got the American people exactly where they want them. They got them fighting over a religion.
Yep.
Got them fighting over
race.
Conservative versus a race. They got them fighting over everything. And the more you get people fighting, you can keep them divided.
Yeah,
you can keep them divided.
And the other thing that's interesting in terms of tying Billy Jack Haynes to the D state was his David Kennedy admission. And so what's been going on recently is that I think it was the 50th anniversary of the Robert Kennedy assassination. So now a lot of his children are coming forth saying they don't believe that the government is telling the truth and that they don't believe that Sirhan, the man who was convicted of killing Robert Kennedy, killed him. So there was a lot of news behind that. But Billy Jack Haynes told a story about how he was sent to kill David Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story it's hard to find the whole story, but I kind of found it on Facebook. So the story is Eddie Graham, the wrestler, got Billy Jack Haynes and said, "Hey, I want you to kill this guy. Here's his name. Here's his room key, whatever. Billy Jack Haynes meets the guy, drinks with him. The guy tells him a big sob story about how his father ran for president and his uncle was president and got killed. And Billy Jack Haynes, in a moment of moral clarity, decides he's not going to kill David Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, this is according to Billy Jack Haynes.
Wow.
David Kennedy is found dead of an overdose. Bill Clinton assumes that Billy Jack Haynes killed him, made it look like an overdose.
Right.
But as Billy Jack Haynes just kind of ran with that, according to him. So we would have to think about this. Why would Bill Clinton want a Kennedy assassinated? Maybe because he's part of the same deep state that killed JFK, and the last thing they want, like if you watch The Godfather, even before Vito was 13 years old, Don Finucci killed him because he's scared that he would be a threat to take them out. So David mm-hmm. Kennedy, the son of Robert Kennedy, the man that the deep state killed, and Bill Clinton being a representative of the deep state, would want to have David Kennedy killed. So that story, as crazy as it is, makes a little bit of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Now, you know how we all think, of course, you know, we think someone's, well, basically the president's a puppet, right? So do you think this whole, everyone supposedly hates Donald Trump, do you think this is all a front, just, I mean, that they're actually telling Donald Trump to do all this, what he's doing, to act crazy, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Or do you think he's a loose
cannon? The deep state is so strong is that you can't operate a government without them. Like, so, you know, I'm sure there are some people, but the way the FBI and the media is going at Donald Trump, it seems like it's a bit more real than the skirmishes they've had with Obama and McCain or whoever. And
mm-hmm.
one of Trump's top advisors is this guy Roger Stone, who's being subpoenaed and everything. And he's a guy who's kind of written a lot about the deep state, about LBJ being behind the JFK assassination, about the Clintons narco trafficking, et cetera. So it's kind of hard to say if finally the deep state has kind of lost power. Not Trump is probably, you know, equal evil. I won't call him a lesser evil because it's hard to be
right.
evil of the deep state.
Well, go ahead.
But one thing that makes me think that could be possibly true is that there's this guy Jeffrey Epstein, and Jeffrey Epstein is another story like Billy Jack Haynes that it's such a crazy story, and I find myself, why does nobody care about this? Like, why is the media going nuts in the Me Too era? Like, Jeffrey Epstein was this big time pedophile convicted of pedophilia, 40 young women in Florida. Accused him of sexual assault in some manner. And he was also good friends with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump even said, hey, I love this guy Jeffrey Epstein. He likes women as much as me, but just a little on the young side.
Wow.
And Bill Clinton was also on this guy's plane. So the one thing that does go on in order to control people is blackmail of sexual misdeeds or whatever. So I don't know what's going on with this Jeffrey Epstein guy who's friends with both Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, why neither of them want to mention him, why neither side, Republicans or Democrats, really want to do any of the coverage of him, despite, you know, he's like R. Kelly meets Warren Buffett. And he's a rich billionaire pedophile. And so it's very possible that there's a kind of a skirmish going on, like they're not really enemies, but they're kind of play fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very possible that the deep state finally lost because Hillary was their person. And they could have had, like, Donald Trump could have been the B guy. He's like, all right, if Hillary don't work, we need to set it up. But it looks like, to me, the deep state is still running the military. They're still running stuff like this. But I don't know if they're running Donald Trump, which is, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I got one more email, the second email. This is from John from Eaton, Georgia. And he emails, Billy Jack Kane seems to be a little out there. Why do you guys believe his story about the kids on the tracks? I'm just curious. Thanks for the entertainment. This show does make me want to keep my mind open.
Well, for me, personally, I don't believe anyone else listening to them, but I'm always, like, cross-checking the facts, right?
Uh-huh.
So
exactly.
I heard his story, and it seemed crazy to me, but I know, like, I have friends who have PTSD. I have friends who might have had a drug problem sometimes. They don't make stuff up. You know, they don't just tell random lies for the hell of it. And if in fact he was out there and this was a result of crazy talk, none of the crazy talk would match up with any facts.
Exactly.
And everything he said matched up with the facts from the Boys on the Tracks, from the book Boys on the Tracks, from the documentaries, from the podcast. Everything he said fit that same cast of characters, timeline of events, et cetera. So,
well, the thing that did it for me was you know, in certain aspects of the case, I think, you know, we talked about the, were there, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, were there autopsies done on their bodies?
No, the guy, Randy Malik, who was like Bill right. Clinton's friend, who like mm-hmm. covered up all of Bill Clinton's murders, there was,
right.
He did a really bad autopsy where he actually crashed the skulls and kind of dismembered the bodies and came up with the crazy theories that these two kids smoked 20 marijuana cigarettes. I smoke mm-hmm. a lot of marijuana. That doesn't mean I'm not right about myself, but I smoke marijuana.
Right.
No, 20, you know, no one's smoking 20. That's like a pack of cigarettes full of weed. Nobody's doing that. And in all my life, of all the people I know who smoke weed, no one ever was like, hey, let's go smoke weed and sit on the train tracks while the trains come. So the fact that that story was such a crazy lie.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That there is a cover up. So if, in fact, if there was another explanation that we could say, yeah, no, Billy Jack's a liar. Everyone knows it was Kevin Johnson who did it. But there's no other explanations.
Well,
but
I heard the
only explanation out there for a unsolved mystery that was on TV that mm-hmm. there was a book written about. So I would like to hear another explanation if someone has one, but I do believe Billy Jack Haynes. I listened to the Doc Washburn interview. I think there's certain cues I have as a person, like I can tell when a person's voice quivers or if they're nervous around a question that they're being deceitful. I didn't sense any of that with them.
Well, here's the thing you got to look at more than anything else. That's as the guy said, why do we believe him? Well, first of all, his life was threatened. Now,
yeah.
if he's just kooky and just saying whatever and doing whatever and just making up this wild, crazy story, why was his life threatened? And he talks about certain aspects of the case because I've listened to both interviews that he did with Doc Washburn. He talked about certain aspects of the case that only somebody who was an eyewitness would know. That's the crazy
right.
thing. So, I mean, you know, and like I said, you know, I was like, and I've watched Billy Jack Haynes when he was in the NWA wrestling, you know, back in the territory days and things like that.
Right.
And I come across an interview he did with talking about Chris Benoit and how Vince McMahon had something to do with that not being Chris's son. And you know where I'm going with that. And
right.
given
yep.
and let me tell you something. Given Vince's pension for wanting to, you know, sleep around the ladies that work for him, from what I've heard from some insiders that's in the WWE, that he does that type of thing, it's not far-fetched. There's a lot of smoke there, but there is some fire.
You know, when the first day I met him, real quick, after he took a liking to me, all the stuff he talked about, what you just said about what he thought, how what happened with Chris Benoit that was McMahon's kid, and
mm-hmm.
what he did, he had like books of pictures and stuff, and he showed me like articles where he highlighted and said this newspaper, it's lying, this is what really happened. I mean, in order when things happen, and he called me crying when Ultimate Warrior died. And we could get into that another time, but or we could talk up here, but he gave me what he thought would happen to Ultimate Warrior. Of course, he blamed Vince,
mm-hmm.
and there was a whole nother. So like you said, you know, a lot of the stuff he says might be far-fetched, but, I mean, the stuff he has, the notes he did, or like you guys said about the boys on the tracks, that, like you and KC said, the stuff adds up, so... You know,
I mean, I think there's a difference even with his Chris Benoit and his other, those are theories he might have had or rumors that he've had. He didn't place himself there. He didn't say,
no,
yeah, I was with the man when he had sex with Chris Benoit's wife. So even if those are far-fetched, untrue, like you can have a wrong theory and still believe it.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you're a liar when you're telling a story about yourself. And another reason I believe in is what would the motivation be to lie? Like when people lie, they have a motivation. Like I'm selling a
right.
book, or people would lie to not get out of jail. Like if I killed someone, hypothetically, I would lie and say I did not kill them because I would want to say people don't really lie to get into trouble. People usually lie to get out of trouble.
You lie to get out of trouble. That's exactly right.
Right.
And it's another thing, like, they had another confession recently. This guy, Keffy D, he confessed to Tupac. He had cancer. He's dying. Saying, yeah, that was me in the car. We killed Tupac. So this is and there was another guy who was involved in the JFK assassination, E. Howard Hunt. When he was getting older, you know, he was about to die. He made a confession about being involved in the JFK assassination. So I don't think that these confessions are crazy. I think they're true.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, why? What would be the motivation to lie? It doesn't, you know.
I mean, I just don't see where he would have, like you said, the motivation. I mean, what's the motivation for him now at 64 years old?
Right.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. And given the history of what happened to Clinton's enemies, and he's admitting the crime. He's admitting to being an accessory to murder. If the police mm-hmm. wanted to arrest him, they would have all the rights. They would have all the evidence to do it. So,
well, here's the thing, Casey.
To admit to being an accessory to murder doesn't make sense.
Here's the thing. Why would he sit up there and lie when he sat there on the Doc Washburn show and admitted being involved in drugs, admitted being a muscle for hire?
Right.
Okay, so why would he, you know, why would this be far-fetched if he's going to admit that?
Right. You would think if someone's going to lie, they would say, hey, you know, I led a good, clean Christian life. I never mm-hmm. killed anyone. I never did drugs. People lie. Those are the lies people tell. They say, hey, I don't do drugs. I don't sleep around. I praise Jesus.
I don't do steroids.
Not many people are going to lie and say they're a drug addict or they were involved in criminal activities. I mean, maybe some people would brag, but they wouldn't do it in a situation where they could be convicted in court.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's not prosecuted because if they go after him, they'd have to open this whole Clinton thing up?
Yep. Yeah, if they go after him, they got to go after Clinton. Then they have to go after Bush, Oliver North, the other the Bush brothers.
Because
and then
with Billy
be
Haynes,
exactly
with Billy Jane, Billy Jack Haynes up and running and talking about this, like Casey said on the first show we did, how deep does this rabbit hole go? You got a witness
yep.
out there, he's out there talking. And he's talking about this, and from one caller even said, you know, there's a lot of people in Arkansas, well, not a lot of people, but because a lot of people called in the show, and was talking about it, but it's a lot of people in the law enforcement and district attorney realm of things that don't want anybody talking about this. Why? Because it's going to lead back eventually. It's going to lead back to Bill Clinton.
Well,
that's
the interesting thing right
to.
Now about the governor of Arkansas is this guy, Asa Hutchinson. Asa
mm-hmm.
Hutchinson been in Arkansas for years. He was actually the district attorney who was in charge of Barry Seal's area in the 80s. And if you notice, during Barry Seal's area in the 80s in MENA, Arkansas, there was a lot
right.
of cocaine going on and
exactly.
no investigations into it.
Exactly.
So, this guy was appointed by Bush, been around, and so now if you look at who the important the drugs are for the state of Arkansas is a guy by the name of Kirk Lane. Kirk Lane
right.
is the man that Billy Jack Haynes said killed Don Henry and Kevin Ives. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you have an accused murderer who's also accused of being involved in drugs as the drug czar of Arkansas. So
you got drug running going on. You got murder going on. You got conspiracy to commit murder going on. You got threatening the witnesses going on. I mean, this is a mess.
Yeah.
This is a mess. It really is. And the more I got into it, because I didn't know about this case until you brought it to my attention when you sent me the email, and I started looking into it. And it's almost like if you look at the local part of Arkansas and you start there and you follow the trail, just keep following the trail up, just keep going up. It's going to eventually lead back to the White House. That's where it's going to lead to.
Yep.
And it's going to come down. It's going to come down to Bill Clinton and his wife and all these other people that were involved in these two boys getting killed. And basically, if you think about it, I mean, me personally, I feel for the mother, Linda Ives. I don't know if she'll ever get justice.
Oh, man, she's a hero. She's a hero.
Yeah, I feel for her because I don't know if she'll ever get justice for what happened to her son. I would like to see that, but you got to look at what she's fighting against because it's taken 30 years to get this far.
There needs to be a movie. They need a movie about her, and she's been literally fighting for 30 years.
Exactly.
And and knowing what she's been up against and knowing what's happened to Clinton opponents. And yeah. No, because I'm on the. I think it's a closed Facebook page now, which is unfortunate, but I'm in her Justice for Don Henry and Kevin Eyes Facebook page. And, you know, she's a real smart person and she's really dedicated. And this guy, Keith Rosenwald, he seems to be a really dedicated private investigator and seems pretty focused and tough, real tough guy. So. They're up against a lot, but I think the truth will come out. Justice may not happen in our lifetime, but the truth will come out. It's out already, but so many people are blinded by propaganda that they're not able to see the truth in front of their face.
Well, I tell you one thing: the callers that called in on the interview that you sent me, the Doc Washburn interview that you sent me, the callers that called in, they wasn't blinded by the truth. I mean, they were telling some. Things about this case, you know, just local Arkansas people that either knew those two boys or was involved in drugs. And one guy even called in and said, let me tell you something. He said, down here in Arkansas, especially Saline County, you can't trust the sheriff's office. You can't trust the district attorney. And he said it's been that way for a long time.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good, like Doc Washburn has a few other episodes about it, other than Billy Jack Haynes that are pretty good that you can find online.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend anyone interested in the case just check out.
Let me ask you something, Casey. Is it okay the email that you sent me, the latest email that you sent me of the Doc Washburn show when he's talking to Billy Jack? Is it okay if I post that interview on my Facebook page?
Oh, please do. That would be great. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I was gonna. I wanted to make sure I cleared it with you first, so it was okay for me to do that. Because I really, when Debashi puts everything, tags me on the post on Facebook and tags you, and I want to put that interview up for people to listen to it because this is a very, very explosive story and it needs to get out there. And I'm gonna do my part to get it out there.
And if there's anyone out there like you want to listen to it and you don't believe it and you could say, hey, no, this is wrong, this proves the story wrong, let us know. You know. Like I say, we listen to it, we check the facts, we believe it. If you're out there and you want to examine the facts, examine the interview, and you find something that disproves Billy Jack Haynes, like, let us know. But I think the important thing is just investigate for yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I find him credible, no doubt about it. I find him credible. No question.
Well, guys,
yeah.
We're running short on time here, so... why don't you guys give your social media links, your plugs, or anything you want so the fans can get a hold of you or listen to you or follow you and all that good stuff.
Well, let me shout out my book. It gives a little background into the CIA and the cocaine trafficking, a little background of Bill Clinton, more into George Bush. If anyone's interested in seeing how far high up going, not just the murders of boys on the tracks, but of narco trafficking, of the Medellin cartel, of death squad in Central America, and also the assassination of Bob Marley, all sorts of good stuff. Check my book, Inside the CIA, Secret War in Jamaica. I'm back with my music. I have a new single, True Champion, under my rap name, Mighty Casey. It's Mighty Casey, True Champion. You can find it on YouTube, SoundCloud. I'm Casey Gain on Instagram, Casey Gain on Twitter, and Casey Gain on Facebook. Follow me.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SYDog336. Find me on my Facebook page at Lewis McNair or facebook.com/LewisMcNair2. You can also find me on YouTube. Just type in Scrapyard Dog Wrestling. All of my matches will come up there. And like I said, I know you just put your book out, Casey. Well, you got your book out. I'm still working on my second book. So I'm crossing my fingers I have it done by the end of the year, but, you know, who knows.
Oh, that's man, all congratulations. I'm going to read it. What's the first book on? Let the people know about the first book.
Well, the first book was about my first 12 years at that time, because it came out in 2008, and it was about my first 12 years, just talking about how I came to be a wrestler, growing up watching it on TV, some of the stories I went through, things I went through, and tell some of the stories I went through in the first 12 years in the business. The second book is going to be about, it's like a self-help guide, and Debashi, you know this, me posting my book in one-on-one tweets on tweets and on Facebook, and it's going to be like a self-help guide for young wrestlers just getting in the business. That's what that book's about. So, but that's all my social media plugs right there.
Right on. I just want everyone to go to Debashi Radio Takedown Network.com for our latest show and links, and I have a treat for each and every one of you right now. Before we ring the bell, I'm going to play the unofficial 2018 World Cup anthem by yours truly, our special guest, Mighty KC, true champion. So until next week, thank you, guys.
Thank you, WRC, you always.
Thank you.
Been a Seesaw Dynamite production.
Ha! Ha! Ha!
Debashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
SasquatchProWrestling.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails. Trails to you until.